Today's passage is from the book of Acts. The disciples of Jesus had brought before the Jewish leader, the disciples of Jesus have been brought before the Jewish leaders because they had been teaching in Jesus' name. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theodas appeared claiming to be somebody. About 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. As Jesse mentioned, we're kicking off a new series today. It's entitled Influencers. And we know that word. We've heard that word. Influence, at least. It's been with us a long time. Now, influencers, though, actually didn't become a part of the dictionary until 2019. So it's a rather new term. And there's a lot of different definitions. But one of them is this. An influencer is an individual who has the power to affect purchase decisions of others because of their authority, knowledge, or relationship with their audience. We know influencers, right? And it's interesting, I was doing a little research on this, and the modern day kind of influencers that I think we're familiar with actually began with mommy bloggers. Did you know that? Moms who just started posting online early in the 2000s, this is my life. This is what it is to raise kids, or this is how I keep my house sort of clean, or whatever. They just started posting that. And the first one who really got attention was named by Melinda Roberts. She started in 2002. And then others. There were others like her. And interesting, companies began to take notice of this. Notice of their influence, the number of followers they had. And so what did they do? Well, they'd send these mommy bloggers free stuff. And what would the mommy bloggers do? They talk about this free stuff in their blog, which would then do what? It would influence, a lot of times, the sales of these things. Now companies just pay people to be an influencer, right? They just do it right off the bat to promote their products, their business, whatever it might be. It's a huge marketing strategy these days. In fact, I was reading, Forbes magazine noted that the influencer industry is worth about $250 billion annually. How much money is being poured into this? And they expect it to grow by 2027 to $500 billion. And so it's this huge industry. Influencer. We're surrounded by influencers all the time. Do you know who the number one influencer is? Who has the most followers? that is an influencer. That's not a celebrity person, okay? That influence comes with the celebrity status. This was just a normal person who's become this huge, huge influencer. You know who it is? Anybody got an idea? We're older, so some of us may not know this. It's actually Mr. Beast. Have you ever heard of Mr. Beast? Mr. Beast. Yeah. Mr. Beast. His real name is Jimmy Donaldson, and he is from, and I didn't know this, he's actually from Greenville, North Carolina. So he's a North Carolinian. He is an East Carolina dropout. You can put your own joke in there. I'm not. But he got his start by just, he's a big YouTuber, so he would create these YouTube videos of him playing video games. And I know that's where he started, because my son would, I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, watching somebody play a video game. And I thought, what in the world? Who would do this? Well, obviously, he's got over 5 million followers. So, he's doing it. Now he's branched out in all kinds of things now. And he's doing so well, I think I read he made $85 million personally last year. Yeah, I guess it pays to be an influencer. I don't know. But before, so he's the biggest one. There's the mommy, but there's all kinds of influencers these days. But before people started making money off of this stuff, there's always been influencers, haven't there? Think about them. We know them as coaches. We know them as teachers, maybe as a youth counselor or a Sunday school teacher, family members, just regular, ordinary people that we look up to that have influenced us in some way. I mean, everyone in this room, joining us online, you can think of someone who has influenced you in a positive way, can't you? We are human beings. We relate to one another. And so we are going to be influenced, or we're going to influence others. We can't help it. That's just part of what it means to be human. Whether we realize it or not, we are being influenced and influencing others. The scriptures, they're filled with influencers. And that's what we're going to do over the next several weeks. We're going to look at some of these influencers, how they still speak to us today. Some of these are well known, others, maybe not so much. But all of them had a big, big impact for God. And we heard about one of those this morning. His name is Gamaliel. Ever heard of him? Well, he's only mentioned twice in the Bible, so maybe you haven't heard of him. But he was a first century Jewish rabbi. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader within the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish ruling council there in Jerusalem. But he's only mentioned twice. And yet he has a profound impact on the early church. And the first time we read about him is what we heard just a moment ago in Acts chapter 5. So Jesus has already been crucified. He's risen from the dead. He's appeared to the disciples and others over a course of 40 days. He's already ascended into heaven. And he's left behind this sort of ragtag group of followers. This ragtag group, though, that begins to change the world. And it starts on Pentecost. Next Sunday is Pentecost. We'll celebrate Pentecost next Sunday. But it all starts on Pentecost. When Peter gets up and speaks, and the disciples speak in all the other languages, all these other languages, so that people could understand what was being said. And what are they doing? They're proclaiming the good news. And it says that day that 3,000 people came to know Christ. And so this is a movement. Hearts are being changed, transformed, right? People are coming. Jesus, and most of these folks, they're Jews. So this movement started within Judaism itself. They're being influenced by these disciples. But the Jewish leaders, obviously, they take note. Anytime there's a threat to your authority or your power, what do? You deal with the threat, don't you? Jewish religious leaders thought they had dealt with the threat when they had Jesus crucified. And yet now, his disciples, this ragtag group, are creating problems for him again. As we heard about in chapter 5, it says, the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. And so here they are. All of them are standing before the Sanhedrin. When Peter responds and the others speak up, we must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. So I think it's interesting. So, you know, Peter's not scoring any points by saying, hey guys, you know, you're the ones that put Jesus to death, right? So they're already not really happy with these disciples. And then, you know, Peter just throws some gasoline on the fire there. And then so the Sanhedrin, what did they say? When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. Now think about this for a moment. This is why it's so significant, because this is the only recorded occurrence that we find in the scriptures where all the disciples, all the apostles are arrested together, okay? Charged together as a whole. So think about this. Here's the whole group of them standing before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin want to do what? They want to put them to death. Right? So in one fell swoop, they have the power to really take out all the leaders of this controversial movement within their faith. Because you got to remember, Christianity wasn't called that then. Scriptures refer to it as the way, but it began within Judaism itself. And so here, they have this power to really, you know, extinguish this movement. They could have wiped them out. If it wasn't for Gamaliel, member of the Sanhedrin, Pharisee, celebrated scholar, right? Not a Christian, not a follower of Jesus, but he stands up and he speaks. And what does he say again? Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. So after Gamaliel stands up and then addresses the council, they pause. They know. They've just heard the truth. And so what does it say? His speech persuaded them. And when you read on, it says that they let them go. Now, they did have them flogged before they let them go, but they let them go. Okay? And what happened? This Jesus movement, this ragtag group of disciples, continued to transform and impact. I mean, we're here today because of that. And maybe one of the reasons we're here today is because one person by the name of Gamaliel stood up and influenced the religious council. Now, it doesn't tell us why. The scriptures don't tell us why Gamaliel did what he did. We don't know what he was thinking when he stood up and spoke. We don't know the reasons behind it, what motivated him, what values or attitudes may have guided him. But I was like, so what do you think though? Why did he do this? And so I was thinking about that this week. And maybe some of the reasons were, maybe he thought to himself, you know what? I can't wait for somebody else to act. I can't wait for someone else to act. Instead of wondering later on and looking at himself, gosh, man, I wish somebody had stood up and said something. Right? He decided to do something. Rather than doing nothing, he decided to do something. How many times have you said to yourself, oh, in retrospect, oh, I wish I had said something. Or I wish somebody would have said something or done something. But I think a lot of times we think, you know, I'm just one person. How can one person make a difference? And so we end up doing nothing. Gamaliel decided to do something rather than nothing. So maybe Gamaliel did what he did because he couldn't wait for somebody else to act. Maybe he was sitting there in the council, and as he watched it unfold and saw the direction that it was taking, that he said, you know, I have to do something because this is over and against my convictions. He knew it wasn't a godly thing to do to put all these men to death. And so he couldn't keep himself silent. I must live by my deeply held convictions. Maybe that's what motivated Gamaliel. We don't know. It's interesting, as someone who's been to a lot of religious meetings through the years, it's interesting how a group of people, when we get together and we're discussing something or trying to make a dealing with maybe a spiritual matter, how quickly we turn away from the question as, you know, what does God want us to do, to what do we want to do? Now, I like the old story of how church folks make decisions, and the joke is, you know, Catholics, they decide by asking the Pope, right? Episcopalians, they decide by referring to the Book of Common Prayer. Methodists, we decide by doing what? What do you think? Yeah, asking the committee, or starting the committee, right? And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but sometimes, maybe we need to start with, what does God think? What does God want us maybe to do? Because what we need to do may not be the most popular, but it needs to be done because it's the right thing to do. And I think maybe Gamaliel stood up and said something because of his convictions. And he just knew this is the right thing to do. And that is not to put these men to death. To trust in God. If it's a God thing, let us stand out of the way. This is what we want to do, but yeah, this, if this is a God thing, let's do the right thing. So maybe that was it. And maybe Gamaliel just recognized that God had put him in a position for a reason. I mean, he's a member of the Sanhedrin. It says that he was honored, he was well respected, so there was influence there. And so I have a feeling that he knew that if he did say something, people would at least listen to them. And so maybe he just said to himself, you know, I may not be the smartest person. I may not be here because I worked hard. Maybe I'm here because God has put me in this place for a reason, to make a difference. You know, I mean, what is your reason for being here? To raise a family, have a career, enjoy retirement, all good things, right? But I believe God has higher goals for us, and provides us with the opportunities to make a difference. And you know, St. Stephen has a long history of doing that. I think God calls us to be an influencer, and it's not to so that we can make $85 million on YouTube, from YouTube and stuff like that, but simply, it'll make a difference in the lives of others, to point others to Christ. If you saw the e-news this week and things like that, you've been invited to share stories of folks who have influenced you. And some of you shared those stories this week, and I'm thankful for those. Hoping more of you will. The stories of people who've influenced you. Maybe they were here at St. Stephen. Maybe in some other capacity. But influenced you in your faith in a positive kind of way. And it's interesting, from some of the responses we received this week, a number of people pointed to people in their family. To maybe their mother or to a grandmother or to a cousin or someone else in their family who influenced them in a positive way. Who influenced them. Who mentored them, who nurtured them in the faith. Another said that it was their neighbor that influenced them. This is what they said. It said she was the most incredible neighbor and was ready to help a new mom with her young daughter. Sometimes she would bring us the most delicious dinners, always willing to listen or plan an event at her house for all the new moms in our neighborhood. She has such a servant's heart and lives out her faith. She is always, always willing to help a neighbor, volunteer at church, be a lunch buddy at school, or just willing to listen to someone who needs a listening ear. She taught me to show God's love, to our neighbors, our strangers, and children. I am forever grateful. That person? Julia Thomas, here at St. Stephen. So I'm wondering how God is calling you to be an influencer. How God's continuing to call this church to be that. You know, the thing that's maybe tugging at your heart, that you can't get out of your mind there, don't wait for someone else to act. Right, that someone else might just be you. Or maybe that passion that you have, I wonder how God might use that. The need that you see, maybe that's one of the reasons that you're here. But I will tell you, sometimes it all begins with one person willing to do something rather than nothing. Let us pray. Lord, I give you thanks for all those people in our lives that have been influencers, who have drawn us to you, O Lord, I give you thanks. That you continue to place those kind of people in our lives. So as we look back and give thanks, maybe also look forward and as to how you're calling us to maybe do the same. Maybe in a different way, but to influence others, to point others unto you. And so let us be open to that, O Lord. Let us be mindful of that. Let us look for those opportunities that I know that you will present to us. Let us be people who are willing to do something rather than nothing. For it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.